So, any Koreans here? 안녕하세요. And then, Filipinos, Mabuha. And then, all the fading commodities, Sukida. How you doing? Good to be here. And thank you, Bella, for reading the Bible and even volunteered to read the Bible. And we have so many different in the city names, and you did well and very well. Thank you so much. Well, you know, there is a danger there when you invite a Korean preacher to preach because they don't know how to give a short message. So this is a deal, okay? So I'm going to give you a trilogy, okay? So this is a part one, and you have to invite me to come to preach again two more times, okay? So next time I'll give you part two, and then again I'll give you the last part. And today I'll give you the number one, and what the Christian mission is about, and that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. So now let us pray. Lord, your word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. We're here to listen for your living word, and we're here to receive your light. Amen. The whole chapter from Acts chapter 14 is about Paul's first mission trip. And I have a map in here, and as you can see the map, Paul went to places far away from Jerusalem, and on your right, far right-hand side, you see at the bottom, you see Jerusalem. That's a Jerusalem, okay? That's it's on TV, you know, almost every day. That's a Jerusalem. And then up north, a place called Antioch is in Syria nowadays. And in the middle of the map, there is another place called the exact same name, Antioch. It's a different city, so don't be confused. So Paul went to places far away from Jerusalem and Antioch in Syria. And as today's reading described, his first mission trip became so spectacular. This might and should have been the basic storyline for Indiana Jones. Because it's a bit adventurous, dangerous, and at the same time, promising and rewarding. Let me explain this map again, and you can see which cities Paul went to and what actually happened to him. And I just summarize the reading from today's reading. The unbelieving Jews, they were Christ haters. So they persecuted all Christian missionaries. They stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against Christian missionaries, so they mistreated whoever preached the good news and stoned them to death. And when Paul and the apostles learned about it, they fled. But what they did as they were fleeing was they continued proclaiming the good news wherever they went. And next slide, please. And in Lystra, this is an important city. And you see Lystra, somewhere in the middle. In Lystra, that's a small town, and Jews came there from Antioch, number two Antioch, and Iconium, on foot, and won over the crowds. Then they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city because they thought they killed him. As I said, the Jews and these unbelievers, they were Christ haters. And they tried to kill as many Christian missionaries as possible. So they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city because they thought he was dead. But when the disciples of Paul, Christians, surrounded him, he got up and went into the city again. He was just stoned there in that city and they dragged out of it. But he went back there into the same city where he was stoned. And then on the following day, he went on to another city called Derby. And after a while, this is amazing. After a while, Paul and his mission team returned to Lystra. The same day he was stoned and dragged out of the city, he went back there. And while in a while, he was traveling around the nearby neighboring cities, and one day he went back to the same city, Lystra, again. And then he moved on to Iconium and the Antioch and Attalia and Pamphylia, and then went back to that number one city, Antioch in Syria. So it says when Paul went on a mission trip, many people welcomed him preaching the good news, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the miracles, the promise of eternal life. But at the same time, some groups of people didn't like him at all, so they tried to kill him. They must have been the same people who said, crucify him, who killed Jesus. They tried to kill Paul and his mission team for lying about Jesus being the Son of God. Jesus, who died on the cross, resurrected and rose up again. Thus, Jesus was the Lord and the Savior. These people didn't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ at all. And their unbelief and accusation became so violent and ended up stoning Paul to death in this city called Lystra. As a matter of fact, he was almost killed there, but without any hesitation or fear, as I said, he went back to the city. So the question to me and for all of us this morning is, why is that? Why did he have to come back to the city, even though he knew he would have been arrested again and been killed by the people of the city of Lystra? I thought about it and came up with just one line, adapted from his letter to Philippians, chapter 4. Why is that? Because he, even death, couldn't stop him from preaching the good news about Jesus Christ. That simple. Death couldn't stop him from preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because he believed that Jesus was the Lord and the Savior. You think you have that kind of faith in Jesus, no matter what happens to you? Or do you want to have that kind of fearless faith in Jesus? As Reverend Mike, you said, I came to Australia back in 1996 and to Brisbane. And for the first time I came to Australia, and then there at the airport, and I heard the first Australian English from this border control officer. While she was looking at my passport, Korean passport, and she said, did you arrive here to die? And I said, no, I didn't come here to die. I come here to live. And she was laughing and said again, no, sir, did you come here to die? And I said again, no, I don't want to die here. I want to leave. I want to go home. For non-English speakers, Australian English can be hostile or life-threatening. Right? What if someone or group of people came to you and said, you die if you keep preaching about Jesus Christ. We will kill you if you keep doing so. What would you say or do? The disciple Peter denied Jesus several times because he felt life-threatening words from people surrounding Jesus being arrested and tortured. Peter denied Jesus several times because of the fear. But what we learn from today's reading, Acts chapter 14, that's what exactly happened to Paul, and he was stoned to death several times, but he chose not to deny his faith in Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is, someone came to him and said, did you here to die? Did you come here to die? And he said, Yes, I came here to die. Just for Jesus Christ, he gave up all he had and all he became. Reputations with a privileged and secured life. But what waited for him was suffering in mission, fear for his life, and doubt in the future. But he never stopped preaching the good news because to him, Jesus was the true, eternal, and living Lord and Savior. So when he went back to the city Lystra again, one more time, there he encouraged believers to continue in the faith, saying, "It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God." What kind of persecutions? I don't know. Maybe giving up your reputation, your fame, your title, your money, your time, I don't know. But we must go through all kinds of persecutions. And that's the way, the truth, and the life as we head towards our Father God, towards the kingdom of God. So let me say this. Mission is all and always about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we, Christians, are called in mission of God to share the good news with others. There's nothing else or no one else besides the name Jesus in mission and ministry of God. And this is the mission I pray for you. Reverend Mike, you called me several times. David, you must preach about mission, nothing else. And so this is the mission I pray for you, St. Albans and Sydney and Caroline Springs, United Churches. Not your names, not your titles, not your works, but only the name Jesus Christ being preached, shared, and worshipped by you. When Israel people were captured by Babylonians, and after 70 years, they returned home. They knew how unfaithful they were before, so when they arrived at their hometown, Jerusalem, the first thing they wanted to do was to build the temple of God. Then through the prophet Zechariah, God told them, not by your might, your power, but by my spirit, you will build my temple. Sometimes we think that we have money, we have resources, we have time, we have experiences and everything, so we can do something for the glory of God. But unless there is a spirit of God, unless there is a living word of God, it will be called mission of God. Because there is no God in there. But our names, our titles, our works, and our plans. I'm going to share a few Australian missionaries in Korea, including an American medical doctor who also preached the gospel in Korea, Dr. Rosetta Shilho. Reverend Joseph Henry Davis, and then the previous one, thank you, and then his sister Mary, older sister Mary, and the previous one, please. Reverend Joseph Henry Davis, the founder of Caulfield Grammar School, and there is a Caulfield Grammar School still here in Caulfield. And then previous one, yes, thank you so much. This is Reverend Henry Davis, the founder of the Caulfield Grammar School in Melbourne, and went to Korea as the first Australian missionary, 1889. He arrived, he and his sister Mary arrived in Korea on October the 4th in 1889. And just 6 months later, Reverend Henry Joseph Davis died at the age of 33 on 4th of April 1890. Easter Sunday morning due to pneumonia. The first Australian missionary in Korea didn't have a chance to preach the gospel because of his illness. He was sick as soon as he arrived in Korea. And then next slide, please. 1891, the second Australian missionary couple, Reverend James Hannah Mackay and his wife Sarah, came to Korea. That time, Sarah was pregnant, but the first winter in Korea for them was too harsh, especially to Sarah, who was pregnant. So 3 months later, upon their arrival, Sarah died on the 27th of January 1892, and she was only 32 years old. And next slide. Dr. Rosetta Sherwood came to Korea during the Japanese colonization. During her medical mission, she lost her husband, Dr. James Hall. She was looking for a fellow doctor who joined her in her medical mission in Korea. And Dr. James, I'd love to go there with you because I love you so much. But she lost her husband, James, and her 3 years old daughter, who were born in Korea, Edith. But she continued to stay in Korea and found the first medical school for women. Even her son, Dr. James Hall, continued to stay in Korea for his mother's medical mission in Korea. And he did the same as our mom did. He met a girl during his medical study, Marion, and he asked, "The reason I'm studying medicine, I'm studying this, is I'm planning to go back to Korea to continue my mom's medical mission. If you'd like to join me, we can be together for the rest of our life." And Marion agreed. They both became doctors and came to Korea until they were deported by Japanese colonizers. Over 70 years, this one family served the Koreans. And besides these names, many unnamed Christians went to places they'd never been before. But their faith led them to stay wherever they were called to be. Some of them were church ministers and pastors. Some of them were doctors and engineers and teachers and nurses and business owners or gardeners. Whichever gift and talent and expertise that they had, they served, they loved, and they dedicated their lives for Christ and people they met. Just like Jesus did, just like Apostle Paul did, they preached the good news into the hearts and lives of people. So let me ask you this. How silly or brave, how faithful or fearful are you as God calls each of you to share the good news to others? And as I conclude, I'd like to share my own mission story. And I hope one day you would write your own mission testimony. Since 2008, I've been involved in a medical mission in North Korea. And so I've been to North Korea several times. Back in 2012, I went to a small clinic center in a very small town called Jangnyeong. And they are the medical staff, you know, from Jiangyan Clinic Center. When our team got there, they were local officials, kind of in the checking on us because we are outsiders, right? And when I spoke to him for the first time, he was really surprised because I had a North Korean accent from my dad. And he was, oh, how come you speak my accent? And because of my accent, North Korean accent, we became very close and started talking about everything, you know, kids and marriage life, and it's all sort of. And then one day, he approached me and asked how much money we would get paid by doing this. I said, no, because we are Christians. Jesus loves us, and Jesus sends us to here to love you. And Jesus has given us everything we need, so we don't get paid. And he said, I don't believe this. Why would you do this without being paid? And 2 years later, 2014, our team went to the same clinic center in Jiangyan again. And I met him there again, and he asked me, are you serious? Are you seriously telling me that you don't get paid at all? No, as I said, we don't get paid because we have been paid by the life of Jesus Christ. We have received abundant grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, oh, you say nonsense. And then he said this. I was a bit kind of surprised because hearing this. And he said, your boss, Conrad Jesus. Right? He's not good, right? Yes, your boss, Comrade Jesus, is very greedy. Comrade Kim, would you find a different job that you get paid? Leave your boss. It's not a good boss. And 4 years later, and you can take the that's there, it's kings, and oh no, this is not. This is a movie star, and I saw her, and then can we take photos? Not this one. Next one. Yeah, this one. So, guy in on my left hand side, your right hand side, that's the guy. And that's the clinic center. So 4 years later, 2018, I went there again, and this time, he seemed to believe what I said, because he asked me this, now, I kind of believe you, but I want to talk to your boss because I want to tell him to pay you. And also I want to thank him for sending your team here for my people. And I said, you mean my boss, Jesus? Yes, your boss, Comrade Jesus. Jesus has a title, very different title, Comrade Jesus. And then he said something I never expected. He said, I want to meet your boss, Jesus, in person so that I may give my thanks and big hug. Would you bring him next time you come? At that moment, I knew I became a good news to him and to his people. They never met Jesus, they never read the Bible, but they felt amazing love and grace and mercy and forgiveness of God in the name of Jesus Christ. I knew I was a good news to him and to his people. After that, he was no longer a stranger, but a friend, a brother, and true comrade in Jesus Christ. We are not Jesus. But because Jesus is with us and in us, people can see Jesus through us. We are not strong enough, but because God is with us and for us and on our side, we do things that the world cannot. We were once strangers to each other, but because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are now sisters and brothers in the name of Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, because of God in Jesus, because of God in the Holy Spirit, and because of God in us, we are called to preach and become the good news to each other until Jesus comes again. 1 Corinthians says, consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to abolish things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. Amen.